This is the Mosaic Church Podcast. Mosaic Church is committed to making disciples that discover Christ, connect in Christian community, and serve others and the world.
Last week, I started on Romans chapter 13. We are in the middle of we started in April on Romans, and I skipped chapter 12. I'll come back to it after 13. I just thought 13 was pertinent for us to this season. And I started last week with saying, have you ever noticed on any given day how many laws and how much authority is we're under? Have you thought about it? We talked about last week about just going on the road. You're now under the authority of the rules of the road. If you go to school, you are under the authority of the school system that's there. You know, you can't just show up with stuff. Back in the day, back when I was in middle school, you literally could bring a pocket knife as long as it wasn't, you know, like over 10 inches long, you know. And so, and that's the God honest truth. I remember one time I had a wart on my finger, and some girl in middle school screamed out of grotesque, you know, like, I can't believe I have a wart. So being an insecure middle schooler, I took out my knife and I cut it right there to prove how strong I was. I don't know if you ever cut a wart. The thing bleeds forever. I had to end up going to the nurse's station. She's like, what'd you do that for? Like, because I want to tell everybody I'm tough. So, but nowadays, you know, you probably go to juvie bringing. You're under authority. There's all sorts of authority over us. And the Bible is going to talk about that. And so it is interesting as we talk about that, you and I know I feel this, you might feel a little tension because being good Americans, you probably didn't recognize the song coming up, but it was my walk-up song. I'm going to start doing walk-up songs for preaching. So it was the song by John Cougar Mellencamp, I Fight Authority, but he has another line that says, but authority always wins. It's interesting what he was talking about, and we're going to talk about that in a second. But Romans chapter 13 says this, let everyone, say everyone, be subject to the governing authorities. That just rubs me wrong. And that's a tough opening line. But that's the verse that we're going to focus on. Verse 1, we're going to go through 7 verses. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. And I'm thinking of a million situations where I want to say, yeah, but, you know, so I'm always thinking of the exception. My immediate response when I read, everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. And my first gut reaction reading this is, well, what about, and I listed a whole bunch of people that were evil people in our world history. In verse 2, and by the way, when he says, for all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. And so, anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. That's verse 2. Now, the word rebel means inferring to recklessness and anarchy. Verse 3, for the authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right, but in those who are doing wrong. Would you like to live without fear of the authorities? Verse 3, do what is right. And they will honor you. The authorities are God's servants sent for your good. But if you're doing wrong, of course, you should be afraid. And for they have power to punish you. They are God's servants sent for the very purpose of punishing those who do what is wrong. Romans chapter 13. I'm not reading my opinion. I'm reading the passage, the scripture. So you must submit to them, not only to avoid punishment, but also to keep a clear conscience. And then to add insult to injury to us Americans, pay your taxes too. For the same reasons, for government workers need to be paid. They are serving God in what they do. Give to everyone what you owe them, pay your taxes and the government fees to those who collect them, and give respect and honor to those who are in authority. I will tell you, I would love to just skip this passage and just ignore it. Here at Mosaic Church, if you're new to us, we like to let the passage determine the topic. And I will tell you, if we did not let the passage determine the topic, most likely we would never really talk about this. And that's what I love about the principle here at Mosaic Church, that it's in the scripture for a reason, and we want to learn and study and begin to apply it. So living under authority is not something that just is an attractive message to any of us. So I said last week, on any given day, how many times you find yourself living under the authority of someone or something else? Last week, I shared about being on going to the airport, and immediately you cannot. You know, back in the day, you used to be able to park your car at passenger drop-off, or park your car at passenger pickup and just walk out of the car and go wait by the luggage pickup. And of course, you can't do that anymore. My daughter here, when she was young, and Robin needed some time off, I would take her to the airport and just go down into Sarasota Airport and just pick a concourse and just begin to walk down up and down and let her climb over the chairs, and there was TVs and it was air conditioning. You can no longer do that, of course, you know that. What I'm saying is that there are many laws and we are under authority. It's all over in our lives. I shared last week about using a scooter, which I love to do, and I rented a scooter once here at Cascade Park. I met Mayor Daley at the Cascade Park. It was for Elijah's birthday. We were scootering. And then I tried a scooter right in front of the Cascade Amphitheater, and that's got a lockdown. So there's some sort of authority, some internet authority saying, no, you cannot scooter there. And so it's all over us. And I jokingly mentioned that John Cougar Mellencamp wrote a song called "I Fight Authority, But Authority Always Wins." I fight authority, authority always wins. Well, I've been doing it since I was a young kid. I've come out grinning. Well, I fight authority, but authority always wins. I call up my preacher, and I say, give me strength for round 5. And he says, you don't need strength. You need to, anybody know the last line? You need to grow up. It's in the song. So it is interesting. And so today, I want to we'll just do a quick review, but finish this passage. But it's more important, we're not talking about try to live with authority, but try to live under authority. What is the Bible telling us? What is the Apostle Paul telling the Roman church that we can extrapolate and begin to put in our own lives? But there is a difference living with authority and living under authority. So the one verse begins with be subject, which means to lower yourself, to be subordinate. Last week, I talked about certain cultures will bow before someone in the church or someone who's older. And the older the person is, the further down you bow. And somehow Ross really heard that. And when he came to me, he almost put himself to the ground because I'm that old, he says. So he lowered his body. And for all week, Daniel and Ross have been doing this to me since last week. Is Paul talking to his church that you need to submit to authorities? What authorities? And we're not 100% sure which authorities. Is he talking about the governing authorities? And there's debate on which authority Paul is talking about. Is it the government? Is it the Roman authorities? Is it the leaders outside the church? Is he talking about synagogue leaders? Or is he referring to something else? Titus chapter 3, he writes, remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, and to be ready to do whatever is good. And this is important, because throughout scripture, we're going to see many, many examples where authority is challenged. But we have to question about what authority means. What does it mean by authority? We know that the scripture just told us that God has established authorities. So it's really important. And I think one of the things that if you and I can take into our hearts and take home with us is that we need to have a general idea that whoever holds a position of authority, whoever they are, is to be honored. You know, it says to honor your mother and your father. It doesn't say, there's not a clause, if they're good, if they're nice. There's somehow God has positioned us to live in a world where there's authority and there's a mindset to have a mindset of submitting or giving yourself a posture of honor. Honor your father and your mother, regardless of who they are, regardless how they treat you and how they treat others, is called us a posture of honor. Now, I'm not saying that means you have to be best friends and, you know, you have to do whatever they say, but it's a mindset. Now, I grew up in a very much Hispanic culture. My mom and dad, full 100% Hispanics. And boy, they really, I think it's a cultural thing. I don't think it was just a family thing, but submit to authority was really ingrained in me. I'm the youngest of six, which means I had to submit to my sister and all my other brothers above me. I mean, they were in charge. If my parents weren't there, you know, it all depends on who the next oldest person. Anybody else raised like that? A few of you, yes. And it is interesting, that has just been so ingrained in me that even as I've gotten older, if somebody's older, it just kind of, I almost like go into this position of submitting to the person who's an elder. And Jesus is going to challenge us in how we think of this. In Titus again, verse 1, it says, do whatever is good, so it could be the case. God didn't establish taxes, but we see in Genesis, where Jesus calls us to pay taxes, the Gospels, we remember in John 19, for example, when Jesus before Pilate, and Pilate says to Jesus, do you not know that I have authority to set you free and then to have you crucified? And Jesus says to him, you would have no authority over me if it were not given to you from above. I think it's a fascinating example in the life of Jesus where he simultaneously submits to the authority of Pilate while clearly telling us the source of that authority, where it comes from. So I shared that all last week to challenge us. So what about Israel? And we know that Israelites challenge the authority. So what about those circumstances? I shared last week in Samuel chapter 8, the prophet Samuel had two sons, and they weren't that good. And so he's growing old, and he points his two sons to be the rulers over the people of Israel, and those kids were not good. So the people started clamoring that we want a king. And they came to Samuel and said, you are old and your sons are not following your ways. Now appoint a king and lead us like all other nations. Lead us. We need a king so that we can be like other nations. And the Lord speaks to Samuel and says, listen to all the people, what they're saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king. So the people of Israel are saying, we want a king, a person. We don't want God anymore to be our king. And God is saying about his people in that posture towards authority that they already have a king, but they're fighting that authority. And God was their king, but they didn't want him to be as their king. And the reality is that since that moment, we, the people of God, have been dealing with the ripple effect of that decision. 1 Samuel chapter 8:11 says this. God commands Samuel to warn his people. And tell me if this doesn't ring true today. This is what the king who will reign over you will claim as his rights. He will take your sons and make them serve with his chariots and horses. They will run in front of his chariots. Some he will assign to be commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and others he will be assigned to plow his ground and reap the harvest. Still others to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves and give them to his attendants. He will take a tenth of your grain and your vintage and give it to his officials and attendants. Your male and female servants and the best of your cattle and donkeys he will take for his own use. But the people still wanted a king. They wanted to be like all other nations. They wanted to be led, and they wanted somebody else to fight their battles. And Samuel responds and warns them that this is what authority over you is going to do. Can you imagine? No political person will ever tell you, hey, vote for me, but what I'm going to end up doing is take your daughters, take your sons, and make them do things. I will make your male and female servants plow your fields and send off your sons to war. So what happened is that we replaced the authority of God with authority of a king. They want to be like everybody else. They want to be led by somebody else, and they want somebody else to fight their battles for them. But Romans 1 says this, and that's how we started 9 months ago. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And I think it's important for us, and this is where we're going to be, it'll be new for us today. I think it's important for us to understand that the reality is that we were, first and foremost, we are designed to live under authority of God. You and I are designed to live under God's authority. So when we come back to Romans 13, what does it actually mean? What can it teach us? Do you guys know the story of David and Saul? Saul was the king, and he was not a good king. And David was anointed. He was going to be the next king. But David was fleeing. Saul was jealous, and now he's going to come after this guy named David. And David had an opportunity because there was a moment of weakness in Saul's life. And David had an opportunity to take him out. You guys know this story? So make it real short. Saul, the king, needed a bathroom break. And he goes into a cave. And when you take a bathroom break, you're pretty vulnerable. And he goes into the cave. And David is behind him. He doesn't know it. And his men are behind him. And his men are basically saying, kill him. Here's your chance. Here's your chance. Kill him. Let's end this right now. And David doesn't kill him, but cuts off a little corner of his garment, and then immediately feels guilty for cutting off a little piece of his garment. And he says, may the Lord not let me put out my hand against my leader, for he is the Lord's chosen one. David stopped his men from doing something wrong. He did not let them go against Saul. Saul stood up and left the cave and went on his way. There's something remarkable we can learn from this. And I think what David is doing, he's pushing back against the tendency, what the men of David were saying. They were saying, David, I want you to fight my battles. I don't like him. So David, you go in and you kill him. And what David is saying is, I'm not going to do that. God's going to fight my battles, not me. And as long as God appointed him, and until God tells me anything different, it's David's speaking of his time, I will not kill him. I will not put my hand against the Lord's chosen one. And I think what David is showing us is that sometimes we can have a tendency to fight against authority. But what we're really doing is not actually submitting to the authority of God. We're placing ourselves in a place of authority. And what I'm struck with this story in 1 Samuel chapter 24, what David is basically saying, he said, wait. This is God's battle to fight, not mine. And so what I believe David is doing, he's posturing himself of honor and submitting to God's authority. And so we see that in Matthew 22, when people come to Jesus and say, should we pay taxes? And he says, bring me a coin. And they bring him a coin. He says, whose image is on the inscription? They say, Caesar. And he says, give Caesar to what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God. Jesus is reminding us, or pointing to some the reality, as followers of him, we need to have a posture of honor towards certain parts of authority. So in April, we got to pay taxes, right? And I would encourage you to pay your taxes. There's a zillion ways to be sneaky about it. Sadly, I knew of a friend of a church that sold, you know, let's call it parking spaces. And selling parking spaces at a church is not a normal way of a church making income. So we have a tax attorney here. I'm going to leave it vague. A church is supposed to pay taxes on that. It's outside the normal way of getting income. We did the same thing. We were in the same boat when we had our other building, and our resident accountant in the back made sure that we paid our taxes. When you're a small church and you have $10,000 of other income, and you have to give, you know, $1,100 to taxes, it's very tempting. But we have to submit to authority. And Jesus is telling us to pay authority. Daniel challenges authority, doesn't he not? You know the story of David? Daniel challenges authority. In the book of Daniel, when the law comes out, you cannot pray to anyone but the ruler. What does Daniel do? Daniel disobeys that law and prays three times towards God. And then he gets caught and he's thrown into the lion's den. What happens? Who fights his battles? God fights his battles. We do see an example there in Daniel where Daniel, in a sense, is challenging the rule of the day because it's a direct conflict to the authority of God in his life. And this is where now, you know, fresh water is meeting salt water. In the Gospels, we also see Jesus heal someone on the Sabbath, which was against the interpretation of the law of that day. And the religious rulers on that day would say, you cannot heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus challenged their authority. Why? Because he reported to the authority of God. The law of God, in principle, overrules the law of man. Acts chapter 4, verse 18, Peter and John are preaching and sharing the gospel, and it says that they call them in, the authorities, and commanded them not to speak or to teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. What we see here is an example of Peter and John saying, listen, we will honor the authority of man only as far as it is not in conflict with the authority of God. Now, this is the example. May look to say that, you know, we're not going to follow man's laws when it's in conflict, but there's something deeper going on. Now, we can see some examples outside of Scripture. If you guys ever know who Corrie ten Boom is, raise your hand if you know who Corrie ten Boom. She did not follow the law of the land. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, there's a brand new movie that just came out. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he was a German pastor who defied the laws of the land in Germany during World War II. But they did this at great personal cost and great personal risk, when they disobeyed the authority of that day in order to preserve what? And rescue people. There was a greater authority going on here. They were rescuing people. I got to see the movie, the Harriet Tubman movie. And she escaped from a plantation in 1849 and returned to rescue family members, which was going against the authorities of that land at the moment. There was this Quaker gentleman named Levi Coffin who helped free 3,000 slaves. What these examples I'm giving you of Corrie ten Boom, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Harriet Tubman, Levi Coffin, are they were challenging authority, but they weren't doing it for personal benefit. They were actually doing it in a place of great personal expense. What these people were saying and what Peter was saying and John were saying, the laws are ridiculous because they go against the principles of God. What they're not saying is, I know I'm right. I'm going to do what I want to do. It wasn't for personal gain, but it came at a personal expense. And I think what Paul is trying to teach us here in Romans chapter 13 is instructive. And it's really just to have a posture of, I need to learn first and to discern the voice of God. If we live in submission to authorities of this world without first discerning what it looks like to live under the authority of God, then I'll find myself off course. What I'm saying is, you and I need to be really good at hearing the voice of God. And we need to learn how to submit to His authority. And when you learn to submit to His authority and you begin to live out the principles that we read, then you can make some discernments about man's laws. But one of the things I always am challenged by, Jesus' words, He says, not my will, but your will be done. Jesus' posture towards authority can be summed up in those words, not my will, but your will be done. And I think as a church, for us, a guiding principle that guides me and you navigating this world that we live in, that we would say, not my will be done, but your will be done. My response to this and to others' authority is not going to be guided by what I want, but rather what God wants. Ephesians chapter 6 says this, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I think when we fight people, and we go against people, it could be sidetracking our attention to really what the bigger battle is against flesh and, is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. When we read Romans 13, we must read in the context of the story of Daniel. Think of Daniel, think of that. We must read it in the context of the teachings of Jesus. We must read it in the context of Peter and John. We must read it in the context of these occasions where the authority has been both honored and the authority has been challenged. Authority and honor matters to God. Therefore, we can deduce from Scripture that authority and honor really matter to God. Romans 13, Matthew chapter 22, Acts chapter 4, which we've read, Samuel chapter 8. We want to make sure we have a position of honor and submission. This is counterculture. So, how are we to respond in the next 5 minutes? In 1 Timothy chapter 2, it teaches us that we must be a people who pray and make intercession for those in authority. Do you guys know the passage? My first election that I remember, you ready for this? Nixon. Richard Nixon. And I went to a small church in Dix Hills, Long Island. And I remember hearing my Sunday school teacher saying Nixon was the tool of the devil. Then I was a little older, then I heard that Ford was the tool of the devil. Then I got a little older, I heard people say that Carter was the tool of the devil. That's how old I am. You guys probably don't even know who these people are. When I was in high school, I heard people say Reagan was the tool of the devil. Now, I'm going to read the rest of the presidents, so just no reactions, all right? Like, amen, you know. I remember the first Bush, people saying he was the tool of the devil. I remember Clinton, when he was elected, people said he was the tool of the devil. And then when Bush Jr. was elected, he was the tool of the devil. And then when Barack Obama was selected, he was a tool of the devil. And then Donald Trump, of course, we've heard that he is the tool of the devil. Actually, I've heard he is the devil. And so then Joe Biden, tool of the devil. And then Trump again, tool of the devil. Sadly, sometimes I heard that in church. Not that that was said, but that's all that was said. I'm not saying those statements I just said were not true, but they weren't said. The statement wasn't complete. I overheard a little kid, I'm not going to say where, but I heard say some negative things about the previous administration and the upcoming administration. A few years back in our old building, I overheard a saint called President Obama the devil. And I kept thinking to myself, they forgot the rest of the part. Did they teach their child, the elder saint, remember that we must pray for those in authority? Pray that they might repent if they don't know Jesus. And we intercede for them. But then, of course, if you're smart, you're probably thinking, well, what about Hitler? What about Pol Pot, Mao Zedong? What about Stalin, Castro, and Maduro? And 1 Timothy chapter 2 teaches us that we must be people who pray and make intercession in those in authority. Lord, I pray, God, that they would come and bow their knee to Jesus. Lord, they need you. It may be true that they are a tool of the enemy. But I don't know if you know this, but Paul was writing to the Roman church, and those leaders over the church were not godly. And in 20 years, the Roman church was going to be under one of the worst leaders we've ever known, Nero. He would burn Christians on a wooden pole so that he could light up his garden, his mansion garden. So I'm asking us as a church, again, I would never have chosen this subject, but we believe in God's word, the whole word, not just portions of it, that I probably would not in the flesh tackle Romans chapter 13. But what I'm getting from Romans chapter 13 is to pray and intercede for those in authority. I'm not saying don't have an opinion about them, but I'm just saying also pray for them. We're not in their shoes. I'm not in their shoes. So I have authority at home, hopefully. So if you have parents you're living with, pray for them. We got to teach our little kids to pray for their mommy and daddy. If you're a parent, you have authority in your home, and wow, you have a great responsibility. And so we need to pray for those at home. If you have bosses at work, we need to get on our knees and pray for them. I have authority over my own life. So I pray, Lord, I pray that that my life, the authority that I have, I pray that submits to your will. Lord, help me to steward the authority that I have been given, and help me to pray for those who have authority over me. If we think of these places of authority which God has established, then those men and women who are in those positions of authority over you and me will be accountable before God first. I believe Paul's point here is simply general. I don't believe he's addressing the exception that you and I are thinking of. But in general, Paul's concern is that Christians be known in their communities of people who have a posture of submission to authority, and pray that they do good. Pray that they do good. Jesus and nearly all the apostles, including Paul, were killed by those in authority because they refused to obey those laws that were in conflict with God. But they didn't do it for selfish reasons. And so submit does not necessarily mean to just obey, but be willing to submit to the rules of that authority. In other words, you might die for it, but even dying for it, you're submitting to that rule of that land. And so it's a posture of grace, it's a posture of submission and authority. So that is Romans 13. It's not an exhaustive understanding of Romans 13. You can do your homework. And if anything, let's just pray for those in authority in our lives. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, thank you for letting me do Romans 13. Lord, I know I live in a world where, as John Cougar Mellencamp said, I like to fight authority. But Lord, I've learned here clearly that you have placed authority in our lives for a reason. Lord, we pray for those in authority in our workplace, in our community, in our state, in our country. Lord, I pray, God, that you would, first and foremost, Lord, that they would come to a saving knowledge of who you are, and that they too would submit their lives under your authority. Lord, I pray, God, that you would give them discernment and wisdom how to rightly and justly lead our people, our brothers and sisters, our neighbors, our communities. And Lord, I pray here at Mosaic Church that we would not just share half a truth, but the whole truth is that maybe someone is not good in their decision-making, but Lord, we still need to lift them up in prayer. And I pray, God, that you would help us to do that as a church. We love you, Father. We thank you for all that you're doing, and thank you for Romans chapter 13. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen, amen. Sorry, went over time. May the Lord be with you. He is risen. God bless you. We are dismissed.
We want to thank you for listening. We pray that you were blessed and encouraged. If you like what you heard today, subscribe to this podcast and listen whenever you like. To find out more about Mosaic Church, please visit www.mosaicchurchtlh.com.